following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio!
Oh, it's wonderful!
I'm excited to knock somebody the hell out.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum.
Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy.
Next time, we're just watching the Super Bowl. That's all we're going to watch, the Super Bowl.
Who's going to the Super Bowl?
I told you. I told your Trump ass.
You better believe that.
Wait a minute.
He's running the
You're
wrong
going the
way.
Wrong way. Holy moly.
And now, here's John and Tom. This is the best of the Bang Radio Hour.
I had to read this one post by our buddy John Tilliard.
Is this the post of the week, Tom? Is this what we're going to do now? The post of the show?
Sure.
I'm a fucking soldier.
Yes, John. Yes. John, of course, is a Tampa Bay fan from the United Kingdom, and he says, I am a member of a UK-based Bucks fan club called the Bucks UK. Anyways, the Fonder, Paul Stewart, what the hell does that mean, the Fonder?
The Fonder?
The Fonder, Paul Stewart, shared an interesting story with me last week involving Warren Sapp.
The Fonder, not Henry Fonder, not Jane Fonder, but the Fonder of the Bucks Club.
F-O-N-D-E-R, the Fonder, Paul Stewart, does that mean the writer or the, what is, I don't know, the Founder, the Fonder. Oh, the Founder, he meant the Founder, that's what he meant.
The Fonder.
Of the club. Okay. So Paul Stewart is the founder of Bucks UK. All right. So Paul shared this story with John. He says, in 1997, I was at the Bucks team headquarters in Tampa. I was being shown around the locker room and meeting some of the players. I needed to use the bathroom.
Pardon? Where be the party? Where's the old WC? They probably, little Warren Sapp looked at him like, what the hell are you talking about? Pardon, where's the loo?
So I'm in a stall, and there's a voice in the stall next to me singing. I first thought nothing of it. I was a guest there, so I figured I should be quiet. Suddenly, this face looks over the top of the stall at me. It's Warren Sapp.
Of course it is.
He says, let me tell you, if you have ever had a problem on the toilet, the sight of Warren Sapp leaning over the top of the stall at you, looking at you, soon takes care of that.
Oh, I'd have been laughing my ass off. I'd have said, hey, no, hold up, man. I'd have gotten some toilet paper off. Give me an autograph, dude.
Oh, that's great.
That is funny. What a memory to take back to jolly old UK.
Warren Sapp watched me take a poo.
You got to go to the Bucks team headquarters. What do you remember?
I saw a Hall of Famer watched me take a poo.
Right.
It's the best of Bang Radio.
Got this from Deadspin. The saddest, most disgusting ESPN lawsuit ever.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No kidding. It's worse than the time that Chris Berman masturbated on Tom Jackson's desk.
It is.
Oh. All right, we're talking now.
This is the case of the lady with the irritable bowels versus ESPN.
Oh. Wait a minute. All right, see, I purposely stayed away from this story because I knew we were going to talk about it. So now what is this?
All right, longtime employee of the worldwide leader, beset by looming layoffs and a spastic colon, finds herself pooping repeatedly in an office garbage can.
Oh, my God! Get the hell in the trash can.
Well, now wait a minute. Now let me give you the story here. All right.
Oh no.
They kind of call her Jane Doe. All right. In the lawsuit.
Why don't we call her Trash Can Sally?
Okay, we will. We'll call her that. All right. Lawsuit was filed in New Britain, Connecticut Superior Court. Sally says she was hired in 1980 as one of ESPN's original employees, and she worked in Bristol until the spring of last year. So she was there for 30 years almost. All right.
Damn, this was an old fat woman.
Well,
crapping in the trash can.
They won't even say what capacity she worked there in. This must be somebody we would know if we heard her name. And for almost as long as she worked there, she received treatment for an uncomfortable disorder. The lawsuit here, I'm reading directly from the lawsuit now. While employed, plaintiff suffered from IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, a disorder of the intestines which causes stomach pains, cramping, and diarrhea. Plaintiff's IBS substantially affected one of her major life activities, more specifically, her ability to control the elimination of waste. Plaintiff was treated by the same doctor for her IBS for approximately 25 years until 2009. So last year, the doctor retired. All right.
Okay.
This was a stretch. Now I'm not reading now from the lawsuit. I'm reading from Deadspin.
So the only person that can control this woman's bowels is retired.
Right.
He went home and told his wife, I've had enough of this woman's shit. I can't take this woman's shit anymore.
This was a stressful time to work at ESPN. Layoffs were on the horizon and employees labored in the shadow of George Bodenheimer's swinging axe.
Oh, see, now what happens? Sean Salisbury goes around swinging stuff at ESPN, and he gets fired.
I know. Now, back to the lawsuit. During the time that plaintiff was trying to obtain her medication, she was experiencing stress at ESPN due to the threat of potential layoffs. Defendant's president...
Oh, my God, if I get fired, I'll just shit, Tom. I swear to God, if I get fired, I'll crap my pants. I'm not even joking.
Defendant's president had sent an email message warning all employees that everyone was being considered for potential layoffs.
I wonder if she thought shitting in a trash can was helping. Look how efficient I am. I don't even get up to go down the hall.
Well, the situation was doubly bad for Sally because, lawsuit, again, in the lawsuit it says, stress aggravates plaintiff's IBS.
Oh, Lord.
Her doctor had retired, and according to the lawsuit, Sally couldn't get an appointment with a new one for several weeks. Meantime, in March of last year, she began to experience severe cramping.
Oh, my God. So she's yelling at everybody while she's shitting in the trash can.
Her suit says, whenever she had moments of fear, she needed to use the bathroom immediately.
So, like, you know, at the end of a day where she's made it all the way through and she's going to the car going, shoo, you can jump out from behind a bush and make her shit her pants in the parking lot, right?
Yeah, right.
Boo!
Well, Sally's symptoms, perhaps compounded by the stress of the workplace, would so overwhelm her that she would have to dash into a meeting room, lock the door, crap in a garbage can, double bag it, and then dispose of her own waste.
Oh, my God. You know, they have those commercials on ESPN of the football guys all standing around in the meeting room talking about new ideas for this show. I'd love to see her come running in.
Deadspin says, as it happens, this is also how ESPN makes First Take.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I see.
Oh, is she in here doing that? No. Oh, good gravy.
No.
I could see her. She runs into Berman's cubicle. Jackson, God damn it! Mortensen's on the phone with Bill Parcells. Hang on, Bill, I gotta call you back. No, get away from my file cabinet. Oh, you know, everybody just fucking bends right over for her, man. What kind of donuts do you like? You like the one with the chocolate? Go ahead. You want me to staple all your papers for you? Sure.
It's the way you do this.
She's got them all scared. I swear to God, if you don't do what I fucking say, I will shit in the trash can right here in this hallway. Oh, man, ESPN is just a barrel of laughs.
Well, now, wait, I'm not done. Now, the lawsuit reads, at certain times, plaintiff's symptoms were overwhelming. On those occasions, plaintiffs knew she would not be able to make it to the bathroom, so she went to a small meeting room located close to her work area, locked the door, defecated in a garbage can, which had a plastic garbage bag in it, and then disposed of the garbage bag by wrapping it in a second plastic bag. Plaintiff did so approximately six times. All right, there we go.
You sure they were that solid?
Sally told no one, for perfectly understandable reasons. She had scheduled an appointment with a doctor for the last week of March, and one assumes that at this point, she thought she was in the clear. Not so fast. On March 20th, 2009, plaintiff was called into the personnel director's office, Donna Harisco.
How do you have this conversation, Tom? We understand you've been shitting in the meeting room.
Right. You busted me. You got me. What can I say? Yes, I shit in your trash can.
Who, me? No, are you me?
Prove it.
Oh, my God.
Prove it. Prove it was me. Funny. Prove it was me. Well, we have DNA sample.
Oh, man.
We need one of your hairs.
I just see all these ESPN commercials running through my head from their offices, and I just wish I could see her in the background running into an office somewhere.
I know.
You know, like, there's the Padres mascot doing some joke with Stuart Scott, and in the background you see this fat bitch running into an office.
And then Stuart starts sniffing.
Yeah, his one eye wanders over there. Snizzle for snizzle,
for fizzle for blizzle, and booyah!
Somebody for snizzle in the trash can!
Booyah!
Oh, hell.
Risco told plaintiff that the defendant had discovered someone was disposing of excrement in the garbage and that ESPN thought it was a disgruntled employee. Risco told the plaintiff that ESPN had installed a camera in the meeting room. That was
so there's video of this woman shitting in a trash can in an ESPN meeting room. Sean Salisbury needs to write a book. I swear to God. I can just see him now sitting in his beach chair talking to his agent. What the hell is this? I'm reduced to working in the post office and this bitch is shitting in the trash cans.
Oh, shit. And they discovered it was the plaintiff.
Oh.
Yes, Sally had been caught on camera. She explained to Risco that she was not disgruntled, merely incontinent. That, in fact, she had a medical condition, but no medication. Sally was suspended 1 week without pay.
They gave her a cork. Try that.
A cork.
Human Resources gave her a cork.
According to the lawsuit, the personnel director promised to fight for her. On March,
but until she shit in his office.
On March 30th, 2009, the plaintiff met with her immediate boss and the human resource director, who told plaintiff that she was being terminated for willful misconduct. They told the plaintiff that the situation was not for discussion and would not be reversed.
Oh, good Lord. Could you imagine? I could not be the judge on this case at all. I would be laughing my fucking head off.
Well, Sally is now, this is where the lawsuit comes in. Sally is now suing, of course, but she's only suing. Now, see, this is a woman who's not in it for money. She is suing for damages in excess of $15,000. Well, in excess. Geez. It says in excess. I don't know. That could be $15 million, but it says in excess of $15,000. So I'm assuming it's not that much money. Claiming that ESPN violated the state's Fair Employment Practices Act.
Well, maybe that's all she can get based on everything, but now that it's out of the bag, she's got to be able to sue for defamation or defecation of character.
Well, now Deadspin writes, let's see. Well, an ESPN spokesman says the suit is without merit and she was dismissed for misconduct. Deadspin writes, that may well be, but however the court decides, ESPN has already lost. They have created in Sally a martyr, either to her own infirmities.
She's a martyr now, Tom. They're going to build a statue to this woman duking in a trash can. People with the IBF are going to run into ESPN's office and detonate their bowels. This is for the martyr. Oh, God.
Wow.
I can see Jessica calling her up. You know, this. They fired me from Levi's for the same thing. You're so brave. I couldn't even have thought about duking in the trash can. There was people there.
Well, it says Sally has provided an enduring metaphor for what her former employer delivers to us on a daily basis, a large sack of its own crap.
You know, when you fire her, you know, aren't you just tempted to go, look, Sally, we don't have to take this shit anymore.
Oh, no.
The best of the Bang Radio Hour.
Speaking of Johnny Weir.
I am an effeminate person. I like sparkly things.
It's the gay show. Yeah, he likes sparkly things, Tom. Imagine that. And hey, you know, he says he's done with figure skating.
Oh, is that
right? Big shock here. Yeah, he's going to become a fashion designer.
Oh, I see.
I was floored. I said, my God, I thought for sure he'd go into like lumberjacking or something like that.
Well, Johnny is, he's obviously a member of the U.S. figure skating team, but he's speaking out to let guys everywhere know that figure skating is not gay.
Oh, no, it's not at all. What a spokesman for him.
Well, he was on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, and he said that most men are turned off by the music and the costumes.
I know that for the men's population of the United States, figure skating is a gay sport, and that's a misconception. There are so many straight athletes in figure skating, but I think it's the music and the costumes that turn most men off, because they want to see, they want to see spandex men hitting each other's ass and throwing a ball. It's very different.
He took a shot at football, John.
Spandex, did he say?
He said that we want to see men in spandex slapping each other on the ass and throwing a ball. It's much different.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, hey, man, they don't wear faggy little costumes and dance around like a flouncy little queer.
So there. Well, I don't know. Sometimes you ever see some of these guys dance around. You ever watch Jerome Bettis after he rushes for 8 yards?
He was poetry in motion, Tom.
Look at him there, Tom. He's done a triple toe loop. Jerome Bettis up the middle for 8 yards. Gets up and does the sow cow. Right here, Tom. You see him? He's going off left end there. The bus is on the way. He's going around the turn. He does the death spiral. There he does it right there. He's got it. Oh, it's beautiful. He's landed the landing.
All right. Oh, you know what? Last week, a sportscaster from Australia made fun of Johnny Weir, made fun of how he dresses, said his outfit was a bit broke back.
A bit broke back?
A bit broke back.
Did he have a star on his hat?
Oh, man.
Woo! That was nice.
And some Canadian commentators said that Weir needs to take a gender test.
A gender test. I remember back in like 1972 or 76, they made Princess Margaret from, or Princess Anne, one of those two princesses from England. I'm sure what Tilliard will tell me right off the bat. Huh. They made her, she used to compete in equestrian events, and they made her take goddamn gender tests like they made everybody take gender tests, I guess, at the time. And the Queen got all huffy about it.
Thou will not test my daughter.
That's funny coming from Canada. I mean, you know, it's like, ask Cartman about Canada.
When you think of Canada, what's the one thing that comes to mind? Gayness!
Well, I know we've mentioned the Cowboys, so 3-1. We've mentioned Johnny Weir, so 3-2. Right now, lesbians are leading the homosexual men 3-2, Tom.
All right.
Here on the Gay Show.
Okay, so Johnny Weir heard about the comments, and this is what he had to say about it.
I'm not somebody to cry over something or to feel weak about something. I felt very defiant when I saw these comments.
Defiant.
I felt that it wasn't these two men criticizing my skating. It wasn't them criticizing my anything. It was them criticizing me as a person. And that was something that really, frankly, pissed me off.
Oh.
Because out of ugly, oh. I think the most important thing to do in life is to make something beautiful. I've heard worse in bathrooms and whatnot about me, so if I had a chance to sit down with them over a poutine, I think we'd all be like lovely people together.
Oh,
I think
God.
They would see who I really am, because I'm always thought of as the sparkly, flamboyant character.
Oh, yeah. Shut up, you yeah. Blatant homo.
All right, Johnny Weir. Now it is 3-3. It is a tie, Tom, here on the Gay Show.
He wants to sit down over a poutine.
Over a poutine.
I had to go look it up. A poutine is French fries with cheese curd topped on it.
Stick your bloody poutine up your bloody bum, you homo.
I think, you know what?
Oh, my God.
I want to talk to this guy.
They're probably sitting there drinking Foster's, getting all drunk, watching the thing. What do you think, Bruce?
Oh, it looks like a good competition, Bruce, except for that fag over there.
I know I do it. I do a terrible Australian accent, so nobody write and tell me about it.
Let's call Johnny. Let's call him up.
Okay. Little Hello Kitty phone is about to vibrate.
Yes. Let's get him on.
Hello.
Hi, Johnny Weir.
Yes.
Hey, Johnny, this is John and Tom from the show The Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, and wondered if we could talk to you a little bit about the Olympics.
Oh, sure. I'd love to talk about the Olympics. You know, it's amazing that you should call me and ask about the Olympics because I'm in the Olympics.
Yes, that's why we're calling you, Johnny.
That's great.
First off, let me say you are a fantastic skater. You skated a program, and you should have finished higher than sixth place.
Thank you. Oh, kisses, kisses. You know, of course I should be wearing the gold medal. You know, the real tragedy of it all, Tom, is that I created a special outfit to wear for the awards ceremony that would have looked just darling with a gold medal.
Is that right?
You know, yeah, most of those people look so trashy wearing the medal. You know, I mean, that Lindsay Vonn, look at her. She looks like trailer trash up there. Some of them look like those wannabe gangsters. You know, that Shiny Davis, they put his on a big gold chain.
Well, do you think this is a matter of homophobia? Do you think the judges gave you lower scores since you carry a purse and wear fur?
You know, every single one of those huge queens I was skating against just wanted to do it, too. They were so jealous. You should have seen the looks that I got when I was coming into the place. All of them were just pissed off. They had to wear their jeans, they had to wear chinos and everything. And here I come, and I was just looking fabulous. I think that it should be the other way around. We all have our role models growing up, Tom, right?
Yes.
Somebody wanted to be just like, you know, some of the guys that are out there, they wanted to be just like Scott Hamilton or Brian Boitano. But you know who I wanted to be growing up?
Who's that?
Dorothy Hamill. Oh, no, wait. Christy Yamaguchi. Get out! Did I just say that? Oh, slap me. I must have lost my mind for a second. I could never pull it off, you think?
Yeah, maybe. I understand the people from PETA were very upset about your fur and that you received death threats.
You know, have you ever seen the gals from PETA? You ever seen those cows? Big, fat women, long, straight, straggly hair, left over from the hippies, wearing tie-dyed shirts. You know, I know that wearing fur is wrong, but there should be an exemption for people who look such as fabulous wearing fur, don't you think?
Maybe you're right.
I mean, I looked absolutely great. Let's face it. I looked absolutely great, and they have to be able to see that.
Okay.
I think, look, any animal would be happy to give up their life just so I could look so good.
Right. And what did you think about Russian Alexander Pashenko? You know, he lost the gold medal to your teammate. He ended up with a silver medal, but yet he awarded himself a platinum medal. What was that about?
Who wears platinum anymore? I mean, really, what did it just screams Kmart gangsta? Platinum looks ridiculous. Him with his soccer mom haircut. Can you believe that guy? What a bitch.
Oh, is that right?
Look at me. I can do the quad. I can do the triple. Let me tell you something, honey. I did the entire University of Vermont soccer team in a single weekend. What an ego. I'm serious. Just platinum doesn't go with anything. It just screams, Euro trash.
So what do you think about all the other events at the Olympics? What do you like?
Oh, you know, I really like that speed skating. That speed skating is so exciting, isn't it? It looks just like it's right up my alley. It's lots of sleek young men in skin-tight neoprene going around nose to butthole. My God. Who would ever want to come in first? It's like a daisy chain at 50 miles an hour.
Right.
That's definitely right up my alley. I wish.
Very good. Anything else?
Oh, you know, let's see. No, I think that's it. I spend lots of time thinking about that Anton Ono guy.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping we'd use up some of those 100,000 condoms together.
Yeah, now what is all this sex that's reportedly going on with the Olympic athletes? What's the deal there?
Well, you know, I gotta tell you, Tom, it's just crazy. I haven't been able to sit down for a week.
Oh.
You know, it was so bad. It was so bad that when I was out on the ice doing my twirl, when I was in warm-ups, I could hear myself. It was whistling.
Oh, no.
Had to wear extra padding.
All right, Johnny. All right. I'm so glad we called.
Well, it's been very nice to talk to you.
Well, and I'm sorry your career is over, but best of luck in your...
I got to tell you, Tom, if they put pole dancing in the Olympics...
Then you would be back.
I could definitely see myself doing that.
All right. Well, we'll look for you if that happens, and if not, best of luck in your fashion career, Johnny.
Thank you very much. I'll design something special for you.
Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Whoo.
Jeez, Tom, what a fag. That's 4, 5, and 6 for the male homos.
Yes.
They are whooping the lesbians.
Yeah, really, 3 points for that one.
You're listening to the best of the Bang Radio Hour.
These are anti-gay activists in Uganda.
No, no, man, we don't like the pussy at all. No.
No, they're speaking out against sodomy, and you won't believe this, man. This is, wait till you hear them. Wait till you hear what they, you know, we talked about the woman in the ESPN lawsuit.
Right.
Oh, just, well, listen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Dr. Martin Semper. I'm here in the capacity as the chairman of the National Task Force Against Homosexuality in Uganda. We are making legislation to make sure that sodomy and homosexuality never sees the light of legality in this land of the Pearl of Africa.
Okay, so they want to make sure that homosexuality never exists in Uganda. All right, you got that so far?
I think it's a little late.
Well, I didn't know this stuff was going on, what they're about to tell us about.
I've taken time to do a little research, to know what homosexuals do in the privacy of their bedroom. One of the things they do is called anal licking.
Anal licking, John.
Anal licking.
Anal
licking. No, no, there, Tom, to do the anal licking.
Right.
Where a man's anus is licked like this. By the other person, like ice cream. And then what?
It looked like ice cream, and he's imitating how they suck the shit.
Hey, that's my the character's name that I'm going to play in the new movie. Anal licking. I am the space bounty hunter, Anal Licking, and her dog, Muffy.
Shut up, Jessica.
It happens, even poo-poo comes out. The other one poo-poo's out, huh?
Poo-poo.
And then they eat the poo-poo.
Oh!
The other one,
then they eat the poo-poo.
They eat the poo-poo. Oh, no.
Do is they have a sex practice called fisting, where they insert their hand into the other man's hand, and it goes all the, into the anus all the way.
Oh, they have fisting.
Doing the fisting, Tom. Fisting. They're doing the feasting. They're getting it all the way up to the elbow. They do the hand puppet, you know. They cook the fried olive.
And it is so painful, they have to take drugs.
Oh.
But they enjoy it.
Oh.
Now, if we have any children, please step out.
They don't know. They take drugs to enjoy this, Tom.
He says, if there are any children, please step out.
This is a parental guidance moment.
Uh-oh.
Hey, that Uh-oh. Child can be moved out.
No,
so I've done research. This is what they do. Number one, you can see a man here having sucked the other person's rectum.
Oh.
And the other person is poo-pooing. And this is eating the poo-poo all over the place.
Oh.
Huh? Tell me, when you have a law against homosexuality, do you say except eating poo-poo?
Eating poo-poo?
Hey, I mean, look at this guy sincerely. Bishop. Stagafulizer. We do not want this sickness. This is sick, and it's therefore deviant. We do not want it.
They were showing a picture of the guy.
Dude, that's ESPN's lawyer. Look at it. There is popo everywhere. This meeting room is not called the popo room. What a shitty show this one is, Tom.
The shit show, yeah.
It's the crappy show. It's the crappiest shit we've ever done.
Oh, my God. They showed the picture, and he's showing the picture around, and he says, look at this. And he shows it over to, he says, look at this bishop. He shows it specifically to Bishop, and the dude about throws up, and he goes, yeah.
Yeah, see there? You don't like the feasting either. Look at him there. He got his whole arm up his ass. And there you go, see, he tickled the taint.
Oh. What a story. Oh, my God.
All you children get outside the tent. We have the armed guard to make sure the feasting homo don't come get you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Dr. Faggot! Paging Dr. Faggot!
Right.
You know, the truck to come down the street, the truck with the bell to ring, the truck to come, he give you the ice cream. No, not the ice cream, it's the poo-poo! They lick it like it, the ice cream, Tom.
Poo-poo. It's poo-poo.
Sometime it like, you know, you get the mocha and other time you get the rocky road. And this is what they do.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. That's disgusting. Bang. Bang. They have renamed at least part of North Avenue in Baltimore, Ray Lewis Way. Okay. All right, so Ray was out for this, and, you know, there was a big deal in Baltimore, and Baltimore City Council was there, and the Ray Lewis Foundation. And it's funny because Ray, he's surrounded by family and friends. Mm-hmm. But right behind him is this one white guy that you see throughout the entire speech. And
he's
you'll hear his friends and family around him as he's preaching about this, you know, praise Jesus. That's right, Lord. And the white guy standing there looking around a couple of minutes into it, all of a sudden he starts, you know, nodding his head like he's in agreement right. with everybody around what they're saying. It's almost funnier to watch the video because of him, but you'll love listening to this. I'm going to play the first part of it. There's going to be a couple of things here we're going to need to discuss before we continue. So,
were going native on me, Tom. I had to react.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise I was afraid for my life.
Right. It's what it looked like. He was looking around like, I better get into this like the rest of them. You know,
I don't know what happened. I found myself I woke up on North Avenue in Baltimore. I was like, holy shit.
Anyway, let's listen to this, first part of it here.
To much is given, much is required.
Yes.
Generational curses.
Oh, wait. Here we go.
Today have been disturbed. Because as a man, I once walked without my father. As a man, I once walked the streets with lonely thoughts. But today, the man who walked that choir out here was my father.
All right.
The child who spoke before me is my son.
That's right.
Generational curses.
Let's get fired up to walk with the Lord, Tom.
Have been broken.
Yes.
I just want y'all to understand it from my world. Why I can't control and act like this is real to me. Because these are things you read about. Yeah. These are things that you hear, all the tragic stories that go on in our worlds about how fathers walk out. Fathers don't walk out. The world pushes them out.
Oh, brother.
Wait a minute. What?
Wait a minute. What? Bullshit. The world pushes them out.
Right.
Yo, man, I really wanted to raise my 16 kids, you know, but I couldn't keep up with all them bitches, you know. Goddamn.
The world pushed me out.
I'd like to control the world, Tom. I'm fired up to control the world. But all I can control is the traffic. So that's why I'm demanding that I get a stop sign here on Ray Lewis Road. Right here.
I can attest to that because I'm a father. And sometimes I want to tell my baby's daddy want to be there every night. But if I don't keep grinding, this can't happen. So I understand the time that my father was away from me. All of those memories are gone.
Uh-oh.
Love me now. Love me with the man that I am right now.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Give me the bulging dick in my lower back.
Wait a minute. Did that woman yell booyah?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
I heard him telling somebody to love him like the man he is.
Hold on.
Love me with the man that I am right now.
And booyah. I said, listen.
Stuart Scott's there.
Love me with the man that I am right now.
Booyah! Booyah!
Booyah!
Ba-fizzle, ba-blizzle, and booyah!
Love me with the man that I am right now.
Booyah! Boy, that sounds like she's saying booyah.
It sure does.
Booyah!
It's this gospel according to Stuart Scott.
The baddest of the bad Mac,
Daddy's, Pimp's, Nappy's, Whacker, Mackey's, Fracker, Knacker, Hackey's, King Dog of the Pie Owl outside the for the swizzle, giving the big hoo-ha to the horse's howl.
Give it up for the Lord.
Booyah!
I forgot how much I liked that. Oh, man.
All right, wait a minute. Let's continue.
Every one of my kids, from Ray to Diamond to Ray Shaw to Rasan to Raylan and Raven.
Wait a minute. What? He's got a kid named Raven? Hold on. Let me. He gonna wait.
Wait, he got a kid named Raven?
He named his kids. Hold on. Hold on.
And every one of my kids, from Ray to Diamond to Ray Shaw to Rasan to Raylan and Raven.
What?
I'm just glad I didn't play for the Titans. That would have been a fucked up name to give a little girl.
Booyah!
Please don't trade me to Cleveland. My wife is pregnant. We can have little brown Lewis running around. Oh, shit. Oh. I'm sorry, I lost it on that one. Oh my God.
Show's over.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
So if I fail, we all fail.
We have failed.
No.
I'm studying school, Tom. Ray Lewis is good for it, man. Fucking booyah.
For fizzle, for blizzle, and booyah!
All right, everybody. If you are driving somewhere in the north of England, please beware. There's probably a three-wheeled car that's been turned over on the road while John Tillier's laughing. He'd probably hit a telepole.
Okay, let's listen to some more right now.
I live for every breath that they take. Okay. So one day, they can say my father stood for something.
Yes.
So one day, we can touch nations. Starting right here in Baltimore, on what love is really like when a son buys in to protect his mother and his family no matter what the circumstances are. I wish I can be talking about somebody else's life, but I'm talking about mine. I'm talking about the person that all of these people look at me with all this love and affection, and I'm telling you the same love that y'all look at me with, I look at y'all with. Because I lean on you guys the same way y'all lean on me. Every time I scrap up my cliques for anything, every man will know I give everything I got.
Yes.
Everything I got. And when I walk in these streets, I hurt at night. I don't turn on TVs and watch the news because I pray so hard the way brothers just keep taking brothers' lives.
Yes.
If Ray Lewis Wade does nothing else, just look up instead of looking down.
Yes.
If the street did nothing else but make you start looking up in life and say he did it differently, let that be the cause. Martin Luther King said, I had a dream, the dream is now. If we make up our mind for the dream to be now.
Yes.
Give me no credit. Man, remove all credit from me.
You gotta hand it to him. He is passionate, and that last bit was actually pretty good.
Oh, man.
Oh, we're not done.
Oh, he still has more to go.
Oh,
hey?
Oh yeah.
This day, to this city, wow, only God himself had this already written.
Amen.
I've written many things in my book, and I understood what Scripture said when it said write the vision and make it plain.
Yes.
But I can't write this vision right here. I shook on my mama's dress at 9 years old, and I said, Mama, one day you'll never have to work again. I wish I was reading this story, but it's my story. I won't look past today. I got to thank every man in here. And the only reason I got to thank Coach Harbaugh, because this man, he knows when we get in that locker room, I speak life.
Yeah.
That's why I asked my coach to let me speak. because these moments will never be again. A football game is just a game, and God used it as a pedestal just to get this moment here. Win, lose, or draw. If you're ever able to come together as men and as people, that's what Mama talking about. Individually, I can bend my fingers all day, but together, together, we got to change the definition of what hoods represent.
Hoods.
I'm tired of getting off planes and can find hoods in every city I go in.
Uh-oh.
It's time for us to change that. It's time for us to go back to make sure we're being accountable to say, yes, ma'am, is still yes, ma'am. Yes, 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 sir, still yes, sir. Yes. It don't change. Pull your pants up around your waist. Yes. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
What? Pull your pants up. There's a dress code, Tom, on Ray Lewis Way.
Pull your pants up around your waist.
If you're walking down my street, you pulling your pants up.
Oh, wait a minute. Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool. Get your pants on the ground. Boom, bam, pants on the ground.
Yes, sir.
Get your pants up,
now. Pull your pants up, pull your pants up, pull your pants up, pull your pants up. Yes, sir.
Get your pants up.
Pull your pants up around your waist.
Oh, I'd vote for Ray Lewis, dude. If he ran for mayor, wouldn't that be great? Yes. I'd vote for him. Somebody running around, he'd have a dress code for the whole city. No pants on around your waist.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to leave you with this. If it takes a village to raise one, then it's going to take a country to save us all. I knew that this day was coming. I had dreams at a very young age. I had dreams, and I knew that God was taking me somewhere. And I didn't know where he was taking me, people. But I tell y'all, man, I bumped into a place to where I pray so much at night, man. I walk around and look at these stars, and I just beg the Lord, Father, just change one mind from hurting somebody tonight. And if on this block that was dedicated to me today, to my legacy, let me take no credit. I'm talking about to my legacies of my six youth. That's mine. This is why we live. So one day we can value ourselves the way everybody is here for this one day that God created. Rain, sleet, or snow. He says I created it all. So ain't never a bad day. A good day is always a good day. Baltimore, Baltimore, I can say many things. But what I do want to say is, man, I love y'all with every inch of my soul. Every inch. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I love all of y'all. Except that dude back there wearing the Heinz Ward shirt. Get him.
Oh, man.
Love me with the man that I am right now.
Booyah! Booyah!
You know, when I was a little boy growing up, I had a dream that one day they would name a block and a half after me. And that on my block and a half, there would be a storm drain. And there would be a street light and a couple of, like, you know, telephone junction boxes and whatnot.
That's why we study school. That's why we go to grades, to make good grades.
Right.
I went to school to have a street name after me.
He should become a politician. He could fix Baltimore. If he could fix the block and a half of North Avenue, he would. If there was any corruption going on, some grift going on, Ray Lewis would show up in the Senate chamber with his little dance. He'd pop through the door. Butt sticking out. Dick sticking out. Butt sticking out. Ow!
What time is it? What time is it? And it don't get out. And it don't get out. What time is it?
Yeah, that would be like the State of the Union address,
right,
for the city.
Right.
The State of the City address.
He'd be up there. Let's get fired up to fix some proprietary budget measures.
It's the best of Bang Radio.
As you've all seen on the news, our country is facing a major crisis, and we need to find out what's causing it. Why? Why are rich, successful men suddenly going out and trying to have sex with lots of women? Tiger Woods was only the most prevalent, but our data shows that the numbers are growing. David Letterman and before that, Bill Clinton. There's a pattern here, people. Why would a man who's famous and makes tons of money use that to try and have sex with lots of different women? And these rich celebrities have perfectly good wives at home.
Why would they even think of sex with others? Damn it! I want answers!
We believe that it may be an outbreak of sex addiction, sir.
Sex a woo-hoo?
Uh-oh.
It's a new phenomenon we don't completely understand yet, but it seems to make people different. Of course, we all know the normal healthy male thinks only of sex occasionally and has no desire for sex with multiple partners.
Yeah, that's right, of course.
Definitely true.
Yes, we all know that. Go on.
But in the sex addict, their entire lives are consumed with thoughts of wanting more and more. The mere sight of an attractive woman can make him think about sex with her.
But what about love? How could tons of fame and money make you forget about love? What could be causing this outbreak of sexual addiction?
It could be caused by something in the water supply, perhaps even by global warming.
Or cooling. Yes.
If so, then the disease could start to affect our children.
That does it. I want health screenings at all our nation's schools. We need to find out if any young people might be carrying this disease.
Well, South Park has started off great.
I have to agree. I'll tell you what, I thought that it was going to be stupid when it started off with that bit right there. I thought, man, that's going to be stupid. Well, when it turned into Tiger Woods the video game, that was classic. That was genius.
Well, so Big Ben just keeps assaulting women.
Yeah, what's going on with that, man? When there's smoke, there's fire, you got to think.
I have no idea. But my favorite thing was this sheriff down in Georgia, this Richard Malone.
Okay.
He has more trouble saying Ben's name than Bill Cowher does. Listen to him say Ben's name.
Investigators have been able to determine from reporting officers and other witnesses allegations have been made naming Ben Roethlisberger, 28, of Ohio, in connection with this incident.
Ben Roethlisberger.
You get your ass up against the wall there, Roethlisberger, ye. I don't want to hear none of your lip.
Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger.
This Mr. Roethlisberger is a patient of interest in an ongoing investigation.
You know, when Ben Roethlisberger walks into a bar, dude, every girl in there immediately speed dials their lawyer. Okay, what do I do? If he buys me a drink, do we have a case? Every single one of them, man. What if Roethlisberger turns out, because this is the second time he supposedly sexually assaulted somebody that he didn't touch, right? So what if he's like Jimmy Swaggart that rides around in taxis and jerks off while these girls talk dirty to him?
Oh!
Mr. Roethlisberger was making a mess in the back of Manny's cab there and refused to clean it up when instructed to do so.
Come on, squeal! Squeal!
That's what happens to fellas like Mr. Roethlisberger down here in Backwood, Georgia. Get off a beaten track there, Mr. Roethlisberger. We don't care what kind of Super Bowl ring you got. God dang right, boy. Look over there. There's that Ben Roethlisberger. Hey, Raylene, go over there and get him to buy you a god dang drink. We gonna cash in, boy. Bump your titties up against him. Tell everybody you grabbed him.
Oh, man. Oh, hell.
Oh, shit.
Oh, so I was in the chat room the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers 2K.
Right. Oh, really? The expert on everything.
The expert on everything.
The trailer park expert.
He's in there defending his boy.
Right.
And this other guy, Omar, who's a Patriots fan's in there, and just lays into Roethlisberger. And I had to record it because it's just hilarious. Listen to him go off.
High school stars, basketball, football, they get prime pussy. Now, here's your boy. He's fucking 28 years old. He's trolling college campuses for pussy. He's a multimillionaire. Not a handsome guy, but not an ugly guy. What the fuck is wrong with Ben Roethlisberger, whatever his name is? What is wrong with Ben? What is wrong with him? He can't get no pussy? Shit, pay for the shit. Get yourself a dime stripper, pay her $400, fuck the shit out of her, and throw her $200 so she can get the fuck out. But keep it on the low, because you are a star. Your boy Ben is a bum. fucking Ben. Come on, let's go.
Fucking Ben.
Mr. Roethlisberger was witnessed with a known stripper relieving a bar.
Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger.
What the fuck is wrong with Ben Roethlisberger, whatever his name is?
That's classic, man. That's a good rant right there.
Hey, he's just got a sex addiction. That's all it is, John.
It's a sex addiction, Tom. Yes. Everybody has an excuse these days. There's no personal accountability.
That's right. It's just a sex addiction. Tiger Woods, another famous person with a sex addiction
with
problem.
An addiction, Tom. Somebody else who doesn't have to worry about playing by the rules of other people because there's a problem with him.
Right.
A medical condition.
Yeah, he has a penis.
Yeah. Got a dick in eyes. He's not blind.
We now have audio of what really happened between Tiger Woods and his wife, Elin, this past Thanksgiving. Ooh. We've got the audio from that night. Listen to this.
Ah! Ah! Put it down, bitch! Put the golf club down, you crazy bitch!
You motherfucker! I never should have married you!
You're overreacting, you stupid Swedish cow!
Then why the fuck are you getting the text and message from some lowlife hooker on Thanksgiving?
God, shut up! Shut up! Where are my fucking pills?
Oh yeah! Take my Vicodin, Tiger! That'll help!
Will you just listen to me?
Listen to this!
Ah! You fucking whore!
Where the f*** do you think you're going?
I'm getting the f*** away from you!
Open the door, you motherfucker!
That was great.
Yes, in case you weren't sure, that was not really Tiger Woods.
For the retards in the audience, that really wasn't Tiger Woods.
Well, you never know. Actually, that was from the new South Park, which we mentioned at the beginning of the show. And here is what was really going on.
Ooh, yeah, chase after me in the car, Kenny. What are you guys doing? Dude, check it out. It's EA Sports Tiger Woods PGA Tour 11 for Xbox.
Oh, f*** you, c***!
Stop breaking through the window, Kenny. Oh, I'm gonna crash, I'm gonna crash.
Oh, look what you did, you crazy bitch!
Serves you right, you cheating turd!
Oh, dude, was that a combo move? Oh, dude, here come the cops. We gotta lie to them. Hit X to lie. Wow, I didn't know golf games were this cool. Yeah, dude, EA Sports outdid themselves this time.
Hit X to lie. Oh, it's a great episode. You have to see it. You have to see the whole thing. It's, man, when they start testing the kids.
Right.
You know, and they show him the picture of the woman. Yeah, and who is it that Butters is just, he's so disturbed by the bush.
Why is there so much hair?
Well, I just can't stop thinking about Bush.
He becomes very disturbed by this bush on this picture, this chick. It's just, I mean, you got to see it. You have to see the episode. They replay it, right?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, man. They replay it like 25 times.
Oh, good, yeah. Good. Make sure you see the brand new South Park. All right. Did you know that about 16% of Americans between the ages of 14 and 49 are infected with genital herpes?
Really? Well, see, this is, again, the separation from what you just said, the stupid guys and the smart guys.
Right.
Stupid guys have pimple dick. Uh-huh.
Actually, black women had the highest rate of infection at 48%.
Woo! Oh, my God. That's one out of every two, almost.
And women were nearly twice as likely as men to be infected, according to the CDC. About 21% of women were infected with genital herpes compared to only 11.5% of men. Well, yeah, because that's obvious. One man is going and spreading it around to women.
Look,
so that makes sense.
48%, dude. Let's illustrate that for people in the audience to give them something realistic.
One out of two. You're talking about one out of two.
If we have two black women listening to this show,
If you combine men and women, 39% of black people are infected compared to 12% of white people. Now, the thing about that is the number, we're talking about a percentage here, not the number of people, obviously. So, right. You know, 39% of black people compared to 12% of white people, I'm assuming that the number's higher for white people.
I'm probably sure it is.
You know, 12% of white people is a lot more people than 39% of black people.
Hell yeah.
But 48% of, wow.
We don't like that.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. So, that means Imus was almost half right, you know?
Let me have some saying.
Right, Don.
How many girls are on that team? Right? There's 12 girls on the team. That means six of them. So, he shouldn't have never apologized.
Nappy-headed hoes.
Oh.
Genital herpes. That's got to be just nasty.
You know what? All this sex talk and herpes and sex addiction, we need to call Freddie Smoot.
This isn't any fun sex talk. I thought we were going to be talking about some fun.
No, well, let's call Fred Smoot.
All right, let's talk Fred Smoot.
That's always fun. So let's get Freddie on the phone here.
Oh, hello?
Freddie Smoot.
Hey, this be Freddie Smoot. Who this be? Some MFL team want me to give me a sign of the contract?
I wish it was, Freddie, but it's John and Tom from the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh, damn. All right. Yo, man, what's be up with you guys?
Well, Freddie, we've been talking about sex addiction, and we thought we would give you a call and ask if you felt that you were a sex addict.
So wait a minute. You be talking about sex addiction, and you be thinking about it, and immediately you thinking about calling me. I see how it is. No, never. Never, ever did I ever consider myself addicted to anything, especially not no sex.
Well, you know, it's because of all the stories we've heard, you know, like the boat and...
Well, you know, I tell you what, but Tom, I admit this, I do have one addiction, and it is, I'll be addicted to the smell the wide receiver give off when you make a first down. Man, I just can't get enough of it, you know. Matter of fact, you know, lots of guys on the Redskin secretary, they be, you know, I ain't a Redskin no more, so I can tell the story. I can do the tell all, right? Look, you know, okay. Carlo Roger, he be addicted to the smell of first down for wide receiver. That wide, he be trying to kick it, you know. He be trying to quit. That's why he stay far away from the wide receiver that he can get. And LeRon Blandry, he addicted to dirt, man. He addicted to plain old dirt. He just can't stop eating it. He just can't stop it. You put him out in a field with grass, he be eating dirt. You put him out on field turf, he be eating them little black dots.
All right.
Everybody got some competition, Tom.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, Tiger Woods claims to be a sex addict. What do you think about him?
Now, that nigga be a sex addict. You know what I'm saying? You best be believe that. He be humping everything that move, you know? I mean, damn, right? You know, porn star and stuff. You know, I mean, damn, Tom, but they be fun to watch and all, but man, that be like doing it with a sewer, you know? That ain't right. One time when I was back with the Vikings, Tiger Woods, man, he brought us all out on the boat, Lake Minnetonka. He told me we gonna be playing cards. They went up going for barbecue. No, next thing I know, he got bitches everywhere. They humping, sucking, everything in sight, man. I seen Tiger banging Brian McKinney on the bar.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and after they was done, Tiger went up on the bow and shot dice with Dante.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. He won $100.
What do you buy into this whole sex addiction thing?
Man, I can tell you what, Tom. People be getting crazy with this sex addiction thing. Everything be an addiction nowadays. I mean, everything be an addiction. I mean, it's like nothing that a man can't do. A man can't talk on the phone with two guys on the radio while he watch your porn on the TV, get a hand job from a cleaning lady.
Right.
You know, that be called up sex. Thank you, Consuela. Just be clean up on your way out.
Well, you know, I was talking to John a little bit ago about... all of these people in America that have herpes. Do you know if you have herpes?
Nah. What's their number?
What?
What's their number? I ain't never met no herpes.
No, herpes is a genital disease.
Oh, no, man. No, man. I got no perception transmitting disease. I be wearing protection, yo.
Okay.
I be
all
put
right.
on the Magnum. You hear me? I be put on the Magnum. I'll tell you what, man. I'll be pulling out the Magnum while the light be on, but when I turn off the light, I'll be go get the regular size out my wallet.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, we've heard stories.
Yeah, man, but that's all you got to do, you know, you just got to let me see it, you know, you just got to let me see it. But for safety's sake, yo, I do extra mile, I wear but the oven mitt. Can't be too careful, you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
48%, baby. I remember that, man, they sent that around in the Black Man newsletter. 48% of the system be infected with herpes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man. Got to be wearing the oven mitt. Pretty soon I'll be buying like a wetsuit. Like a wetsuit, like a diver be where going if I have me a date with a sister.
Well, have you ever had sex with 14 women in one night?
Nah, not yet. Last year I had sex with 11, but they was the New York Giants and they was fucking me good. But you know what, man? Just in case I got me a 14-headed dildo. It looked like a big purple ship wheel, except all the handles be dicks. If I could get all the women on it, be able to stand still, that'd be one hell of a nice table.
All right, Freddie. You are crazy, man.
I need a job, Charles. I need a job.
I know.
I mean, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
I tell you what, I heard a couple Green Bay Packer fans saying they wanted to see you in Green Bay.
That'd be good. I'll be going to Green Bay. I'll be playing Green Bay. I'll be even getting the braids. Look like you got to have braids to play in Green Bay.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll be getting the braids. Right. Freddie Spooky looking good in braids, too.
All right, Freddie. Well, I hope you catch on with the team soon, and we'll talk to you again down the road. All right, man?
All right.
It's the best of Bang.
Our buddy Mick Wrong
is a Texas piece of shit ref with his fucking Texas accent.
Yeah, that guy.
Mick Wrong.
You know, he's been talking in the NFL chat room for a long time. Tar Heel had been talking in there for a long time. And, you know, so they knew each other very well. And, well, Tar Heel found out that Mick Wrong was actually a white guy. All right.
Ooh.
And this is how it went.
Yes. Oh, wait, y'all kidding me. You went there and never say McNabb. You should have told me you was a cracker. As long as I've been Norm McNabb, I always thought he was a brother, yo. I just don't believe that damn McNabb is a cracker, yo. I really don't believe that, yo. I always thought McNabb in one time I had.
He gets all confused.
This is why you don't use glory holes, Tom.
Shit. I've been Norm McNabb for a good minute. Damn, I would never thought McNabb was a cracker. Damn, my whole shit fucked up, man. He always came across as a brother to me. He didn't indicate that he was white and stuff, because he had, you know, because he was always sending me some jams and stuff and all that stuff. And, all, you know, and he was talking about the side of town he lived on. He just never came across me as if he was white. I'm going to call him out on the next time I see him. I'm going to pull his card and say, McNabb. I've been knowing you for years now, dog. Why you never told me you were white? I don't know what he'll say. I don't know what the hell he'll say. I'm gonna say it right now. I ain't know you was a cracker. Damn. Be a cracker. If he's a cracker, man. I'm about to crush him. I'm about to cracker crush him. I'm about to go cracker crush him.
Oh, there's all of a sudden I feel this motherfucking damn hatred for him. I don't know where it come from.
Man, no.
Oh, wait a minute, that wasn't it. Wait a minute, where was it? Here it is.
So I'm a pull his card over.
It's like he's got a tennis ball in his mouth. I'm a. It's Charlie Brown's teacher, dude.
Damn, I would never thought McNabb was a cracker.
Pull the abwa back up again. What's that, Miss Crabapple?
So I'm a pull his card.
It's definitely Charlie Brown's teacher.
So I'm a.
That means Charlie, where's your homework? Charlie, why is your dog in the classroom? Oh shit!
I'm about to cracker crush him.
I'm about to cracker crush him.
I'm about to cracker crush him. Oh man!
He can't believe it.
Hell to the motherfucking no!
This can't be happening, yo.
All right, here he continues to freak out.
I didn't know McNabb was white, yo. I really didn't know McNabb was white. When y'all told me that shit, I didn't. But I still have way don't believe it. You mean to tell me?
Okay, well, before he continues, I got to tell you, we put up a picture of him.
Oh God! That is the goofiest picture I've ever seen.
I know.
Talking about the one with the headband.
Yeah, he looks like Mike Reno from Loverboy. Got that gay ass. God. That gay. He looks like he should be playing in the for Naga.
Oh God!
For the softball team, you know that's what you know.
He looks like Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, he looks like he should be on that gay World Series. Anyway, so here Tar Heel continues.
That picture up there, and his lips as pink as I don't know what. That's banana. I ain't never seen lips that pink, yo. I mean that man. No. I never knew it. I swear for God, I never knew McNabb was white. I always thought of him as being black. Even back in the Yahoo days, I always thought McNabb was black until I posted a picture of some white dude with some pink lips. He said, "That's McNabb." And I said, "Oh, hell no, that ain't him, yo."
No way.
I looked at that picture, Mouth. I swear for God, it was a white face. And I'm talking about not just your average white face. This is like a face that never saw no sun at all, with some pink lips. Oh no, man! This right here, this shot the crap out of me. I better lost the words. This right here, though.
It shocked the crap out of him. I was severely motherfucking damn taken aback and shit.
I ain't never seen lips that pink, yo.
I was flabbergasted, Tom.
It was a white face, and I'm talking about not just your average white face. This is like a face that never saw no sun at all. A
face that never saw no sun at all. I am beside my motherfucking self.
I think Max might be
You're listening to the best of the Bang Radio Hour.
In Cleveland, there's a sportscaster by the name of Bruce Drennan. And he does a sports talk show. He does a radio show, but they put his show on Sports Time Ohio, on, so you can watch him on television, like Mike and Mike. Mm-hmm. And the Cleveland Indians suck, and I could care less. But he goes off on this rant about the Indians. All right, this is great stuff.
We stink, man. Oh.
I thought Carmona, you know, he wasn't great. But he certainly pitched well enough to win, considering, Valbuena, give him back. You know what? Give him back to the Mets, man. Somebody said he should be in Columbus tonight. Send him to Mahoning Valley. He can't do any harm there. They haven't even started their season. painful. Unbelievable. Oh, I am in such pain. Pain, I say. Oh, I have a pain in my side, on this side. I got a pain on my side, on this side. My knees hurt. My elbow hurts like LeBron. Most of all, my head hurts. My psyche's hurt. I'm hurting all over my body. Head to toe. Oh, God. We stink. Stink.
Wow.
I'm hurting all over my body.
That was a hell of a rant.
We stink. Stink.
Yeah, but you know, did you hear all those and ohs?
Yeah, I know. It sounded like Lawrence Taylor's wife.
I put them all together. In the way he says Valbuena, it sounds like he's making love to Valbuena. Listen to this.
Valbuena. Oh, God.
Ah, that was good.
I got to do it again.
Valbuena. God.
Oh, God.
Now, see, we can blackmail him with that. We can send it off to a local Cleveland TV station. Anonymous tape arrives.
Oh.
Disgrace him. Send it to the Indians.
Right.
And that way, when they get sick of this guy talking about him, they can release him.
You've been listening to the best of the Bang Radio Hour.
Visit BangCartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, as well as Bang Cartoons.
BangCartoon.com.
Bang, 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 bang.
Here I come, bang.
You've been listening to the Bang Cartoon.
Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
With rapid insurance on Vodafone Business, we'll get a replacement phone to you within 4 hours. So if you should...
Oh, no.
Or even... Oh. Just get in touch and we'll...
Your replacement phone, sir.
Your phone replaced within 4 hours with our rapid insurance. Available on our new and limited data plans. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone Business.
Max download upload speeds apply to data. Coverage may vary. Unlimited and rapid terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.